Well, good morning, everyone. It is a privilege to be here today. So good to see you all. So this morning, I have the privilege of leading off in the month of December as we talk about the phrase, God with us. And the title of my message today is, Did You or See the Signs? See the Signs. I had the opportunity when I was a student to do student teaching in Moscow, Russia, and I got to teach English in school number 607, which is right by the Soviet Army Museum, which happens to have the pieces of the U-2 that the Russians shot down, I believe, in 1962. And when I was there, I was given the address of my school. This is your school you're going to be working at, and I didn't speak Russian. So imagine trying to go on public transportation in a large city and find the school you're supposed to be at. One thing I did discover culturally is that rather than give you a bad message, like if you asked a stranger for where should I go, if they said, I don't know, they would feel like that would hurt your feelings. So they would just say, well, just head down that way and you'll find it. So without hurt feelings, toward the end of the day, which was okay, I made it to the school. Well, I had to use the restroom. And right away when you walk in the school, you'll see there's a hallway that was actually three stories. There was a room which you could tell was the restroom, but it didn't have any signs or pictures or color to signify which restroom this was for. So I was given a tour of the school, and at the end of the tour, I said to the lady who was in charge of the English department, she said, do you have any questions? And I said, well, yes. Where is your restroom? And so she and another teacher dialogued back and forth, and they said, well, the school does have a cantina. However, lunch is served at lunchtime, and there's nothing that will be coming soon, so you can use that when you teach. And so I'm like, okay, no. I need to use the bathroom. And so she said, and they talked back and forth in Russian, and they're like, the school's not equipped with showers. And I don't know why, but the only thing I can think of is I need to go potty. And she and her friend talked about that for a little while, and they said, we don't have one of those either. I'm sorry. So, and yes, I know to this day, if I had said toilet, that's a little more universal, but unfortunately, I did not think of that. So they walk away, and I'm just like, okay, which one do I go in? First day, public school, children, you don't want to go in the wrong restroom. So I waited in the hall until I saw that it turns out, if you're ever at school number 607, I don't know if this is a thing that's all across Russia, but the restroom on the left is the boys, restroom on the right is girls, just in case you need that. But the key is you've got to pay attention to the signs. I actually watched some students to eventually know where to go, which I was grateful for. So today we're going to be talking about checking out the signs. And we're talking about God with us. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 7, which is the first mention of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Please follow along. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. So God's saying, hey, you want a sign? Heaven, earth, what is the sign that you're seeking? But Ahaz, who it turns out was not a very good king, said, well, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to a test. Well, Isaiah's like, okay, man, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough that you will try the patience of humans? Will you also try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which we know from the first part of Matthew means God with us. Now, this was prophesied over approximately 700 years before Jesus was to be born. So this morning, what I want to focus on are those three words, God with us. Why, to start with, did God have to come down and be with us? Well, I'm a visual person, and so I will give you the Cliff Notes version of this message, and then you'll see some images, and hopefully they'll make sense. Cliff Notes, railroad, Cliff Notes, fog, and last Cliff Note item, holes. So that's the overview of the message. Do you guys feel encouraged? Do you got that? Yes? Nod, smile. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, so Cliff Notes to the railroad. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 12, but before I get there, I want to talk a little bit about this. So you see the R&R of railroad, and you say, okay, what does this have to do with today's message, Joel? I'm not sure. Well, why did Jesus come? So often we do say, hey, it's the time. It's the reason for the season. Keep Christ in Christmas. It's time to give. It's time to share. And all those things are good things. But the thing you have to remember is, why did Jesus come? And ultimately, it's because, as was mentioned, as we worshiped, God is holy. God cannot stand sin. And essentially, it's because of his wrath that God sent Jesus to this earth. So as you can see, the W is silent on the wrath. But the cool thing is just like a train track crosses, at the cross, God's wrath was met with reconciliation. Why did Jesus come? Because of God's wrath, but because of his reconciliation also. So when I think about a scripture and I'm saying, okay, where is a verse that talks about signs that gives more light into this situation? And I think of Jonah. Do you remember in the story of Jonah? Jonah was asked to do something and he was not obedient. God said, go here. He went in the opposite direction. There is a great storm. God's wrath caused a great storm to come down, so great of a storm that every sailor thought they would die. Jonah is sleeping. They wake Jonah up. They're like, Jonah, we're in trouble. We're dying. Do something. And he's like, well, it's my fault. Throw me in the ocean. They're like, no. We can do more. But eventually they throw him into the ocean. Well, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, Jesus is talking, and he answered and said, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Why did Jesus come? He came to make that cross, and we know die on the cross, because of God's wrath. There had to be a cross met with reconciliation. Now, I live in Richmond, and I live in Pecan Grove, and if you're coming out of Pecan Grove and you're avoiding the tolls, your option is to go down to 90 where there is a train track. And this train track on 90 is utilized very often. And so it's kind of a 50-50 chance as to whether or not you're going to hit a train, or at least be stopped by a train. And fortunately, we usually miss it, but every now and then, you know, especially when I'm coming home, and let's say you're in Sugar Land and you see the train coming, it's like, oh, I wonder if I can beat it to the pass. Well, what I see when I see that train, and I think about wrath and reconciliation, and I think about believers, and I think about the X marks the spot. This is the cross. And I see some trains going really slow. And behind those trains are cars that they're tugging along. Well, it's kind of like, as individuals who have fallen, we have burdens that we are tugging along. But at the cross, those burdens are lifted at Calvary. But the interesting thing is that as a believer, you can still carry around burdens that are slowing you down as well. Jesus has won the victory, but are you still carrying burdens? And so my first challenge is to you, as you think about God with us and you think about the holiness of God, and we're walking into the Christmas season, say to yourself, you know what? Are there burdens that I'm dragging with me into Christmas or into the holiday season? Are there things in my life that I'm holding on to that I know I shouldn't be holding on to that I need to let go of? And just as we celebrated communion, you look over your life and you say, hey, where did I put Jesus on the cross? How did I do this? And so you take a pause, and I encourage you as you enter into the Christmas season, take a pause and say, okay, is there something I need to cut out of my life? And that transitions us into the next part, God with us. God with us. What does that look like? Well, I think of Luke chapter 16. And in Luke chapter 16, I will get there in a moment. But the image that I have, you remember how I said fog? There is fog. You may not be able to see it at the moment, but there is fog. Limited visibility. So I have lived here in Houston. This is my second year, and I do know that there's a season of fog. I don't remember exactly when it is, but I know that when you come out in the morning, it's pretty foggy. And in order to see through the fog, what do you need? You need light. You need light to see through the fog. And what is the light that helps us see God with us? The light is God's word, the law and the prophets, enlightens us as to what he's doing. It's interesting, Augustine, in his Confessions, first book, fourth part, describes God like this, present but hidden. Do you ever feel like God is present? You know he's here, you believe he's here, but he's hidden. What's he doing? Where are things happening? My daughter, the other night, I was putting her to bed. This is one of my younger daughters, and she was crying. She didn't want me to leave. And she's like, but Daddy, I'm scared. And it's like, well, you've trusted in Jesus. He's with you. And she's like, I know, but I can't see him. It's like, yeah, I can't see him either. I get that, but he's with you. We can count on the promises. Well, I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about light. Luke chapter 16, verse 27. The story that I'm using regarding a sign is the parable that Jesus told regarding Lazarus and the rich man. They died, went to two different locations. The rich man is talking to Abraham, and this is what he says. I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets, the word of God. Let them listen to them. No, Abraham, he said, if someone comes back from the dead, they will repent. He says to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. So when I think about light, enlightening our path, Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. When I lived in Oregon, there are caves and mountains and cool things. We were visiting Bend, Oregon, and there was a cave that you go down into the depths of the earth. It stays at a constant 60 degrees, no matter what it is above ground. And right before you go down into the cave, you have the ability to rent a lantern, and they're $5. And so I'm like, pay $5 for a lantern. I got a cell phone. Hello. I'm always equipped with a flashlight. But I went ahead. I got one lantern. Well, you descend down into utter darkness. And then you realize that, yes, darkness does flee from light. But the brighter the light, the more significant the flight is. And so, you know, my cell phone flashlight was just this tiny little circle. I mean, you think it's bright until you're in a cave that's massive and there's things hanging from the ceiling and things that might trip you up. And then you realize, you know what? I want the brightest light possible. The lantern was good. I should have had more. It was totally worth the $5. Well, I take that into your spiritual walk. Are you seeking God? Are you looking for him in hidden places? How do you do that? It starts with the word of God. You know, we live in the coolest time ever in the sense that the word of God, you can get it on audio. You can watch it visually. It doesn't matter what type of learner are. There are many different translations that help you get through it. I encourage you, get in the word of God. You've got the light, but the question is, how bright is the light that's leading your way? That is how you find Christ present in a hidden world. And then that brings me to my last point, God with us. He came to be with us, which is pretty incredible. So when I think about it, where is a sign regarding God with us? And as my my point is bringing the here to holy. And I think of Jesus being born in a manger and the shepherds being drawn to that location. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in the manger.'" You know what I think is so incredible about bringing the here to holy? And my sign, I found a rough road sign with shotgun holes in it. Because we're taking this life where you watch the news and it's discouraging, this life where sometimes you look on Facebook and you'll read about discouraging situations, your finances, relationships, family. We are going through rough roads. But the cool thing is why does God leave us here as opposed to bringing us home? Because we have the ability to bring the here and now into holy. And how do I see that? Well, starting with Jesus, what's amazing is just his birth caused a stable, a manger, a stinky place to become a center of worship and a church. And we have the ability to make where we are, at our work, at our home, in our neighborhood, in our church, Sugarland, and beyond, into a place of worship. We have that ability. You know, I mentioned when I was in Russia, I was there for a school year, and me and other friends, we would pass the time. Unfortunately, we didn't have Netflix in Russia with smartphones at the time. So we'd do stuff like play chess. And I'm not a great chess player. As a matter of fact, my older brother said, "Hey, man, I'll teach you how to play chess." I'm like, "Oh, sweet, thanks, man." And so he's like, "Here, okay, this guy does this, this guy does this, this guy does that. Okay, you go." And then he's like, "Okay, see, that's how you beat somebody in 4 moves. I read it in a book." It's like, "Oh, okay, I don't know that I want to play chess." Well, right away I learned you guard the queen. You keep the queen from getting got, because that's cool. She has all these awesome moves. So I'd move my queen around the table, and then one of my friends in Russia would go, party blower, free guy, free guy. And he would just take my bishop and my rook and my pawns as I'm protecting my queen until nothing was left. Well, I challenge you in the same way that we are going through rough roads. I would guess all of you are experiencing something that's challenging. As Pete started off the service, he talked about living in a time of waiting. Well, the question is, while you're waiting, are you circling the wagons and trying to protect your queen, or are you going on offense and attacking? Well, how do we attack this present kingdom? We make the here holy. We invest in people's lives. We invest in our church. So often I am saying, "Guys, I really need help in children's ministry. These are our kids. This is your church." When I say, "Hey, you know what? We have an opportunity where kids are coming to us and saying, 'We want to learn about God.'" And I'm like, "Hey, are you available?" "No, we're busy." "Hey, are you available?" "No, we're busy." And we just keep going down the list. These are our kids. We can make a difference in the here and now. It doesn't stop in children's ministry and youth ministry. They need people. Grant today was having if you're interested in a short-term missions, meet in the gym. Even if you don't know if you can go, you can say, "You know what? I'm at least going to learn more about this." We have the care and share. We're investing in our community. We need to be on offense. You have two choices. You can circle the wagons and you can retreat, or you can go out and make a dent in this world around us. And that's what I choose to do. And I encourage you to choose it as well. And you know what? When I have a message like this, one of the things that you tell children is when you point your finger out, you have 3 fingers that are pointed right back at you. This is a message for me as well. I'm saying, you know what? What can I do? Where can I make a difference? 3 are pointed right back at me. And so as I want to conclude, and I want to think about what is a picture of taking the here and making it holy. this world that we live in, this everyday world that we live in, and we're walking into Christmas, and people are shopping, and there's the hustle and bustle and life, and things can distract us and get in our way. How can we make the here holy, the here and now holy? And I challenge you with this video, which you will see, and I'm not actually going to close in prayer. I'm going to let this video be your prayer. So here is just one example of a group of people coming together to make the most ordinary place unordinary. Just like Jesus was born in a manger in a less than ordinary place, he made it holy. Just like these shepherds who were out in the fields working the midnight shift, and they were brought in as the first worshipers, and we know that they went and told everyone, but also think it's interesting that it was shepherds, because as believers, what are we told to do? We are told to shepherd. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, Peter, feed my lambs. Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Every single one of you needs to be a shepherd, shepherding someone, starting in your home and going beyond.